I'm talking about a crossroads in my life where I tried to change a fear I had, quite a deep-seated fear of exposing myself in public. Oh, being nude in public, not the... To understand why I have this fear, it's probably I'll go back a little bit on into my childhood. I was born in Nelson and actually grew up at Tapawera. And my father's family were just farmers, pretty simple, nice, honest New Zealand farmers. And my mother's family, well, they were quite different. They came from Richmond, the Big Smoke. They were descended from sort of remittance men. So if you don't know what remittance men are, that's basically a man who's done something wrong in England and sent out by the family and paid a remittance to stay there. So they grew up with this sort of idea that it was a bit of a hyacinth bouquet type of approach. So unfortunately, my mother's family were sort of entrepreneurs, but not particularly good ones. And it took about two generations for all the money to dissipate. Though when my mother married my father, there wasn't any money. We certainly weren't rich at all. But she was determined to bring us up properly. So manners were the big thing that my mother was going to sort of save the family with. So she was insistent on manners, but along with that Victorian idea of manners, which my mother had, was the belief that you didn't talk about anything down below. This was a no-man's land, really. It just really didn't exist. There were four men in our family, my mother, and obviously there were quite a bit of bits and pieces. But they were always referred to as code. If you had to refer it, and you only had to do that on really dangerous or exceptional occasions, it was referred to as the thingy. And even if the bodily functions were never discussed in any sort of way that would reveal what they were, and you probably do it yourself, ones and twos they were. And if you hadn't happened to pass wind, and I actually never passed wind until I got married... Now I can't stop. That was referred to as a rude popper. So the upshot of this sort of background was that I could negotiate myself around a dinner table, but I was acutely embarrassed and or aware of being naked in public. And this had other side effects to the family, because on a Sunday night we'd be watching television, Disney Hour, which you probably remember. And that was fine, nothing was going to come up there. But then there was the natural history. So the whole family would be watching sort of zebras on the Serengeti. And we're all thinking the same thing. Don't mate. Don't mate. Sure enough, halfway through, the zebras would be humping on the Serengeti. My mother would be rush out and make a cup of tea. My father would sort of be coughing. And my brothers and I were just watching the television. Don't look left, or just going very, very red. I mean, that was bad enough, but the real clincher was the program about the elephants. I don't know if anyone's ever seen elephant mating, but it's a sight that will never leave you. I mean, that thing, he took up the whole screen. It was horrific. So about 5 years later, I'm in Israel, Sarah Kibbutz. I'm doing my OE. I'm working in a banana plantation, which is actually very difficult work, so I was reasonably fit. And we were just below the Sea of Galilee in Israel, and there was a call from the Sea of Galilee Art Society that they wanted a nude model. Now, normally, of course, I wouldn't even go consider that, but they were also offering 5,000 shekels. But I thought, well, this is a chance for me to sort of overcome this irrational fear and you know, accept things. So I said, yes, I'll do it. And so one late afternoon, an art teacher picked me up, a small, mousy man, and we drove up to the Sea of Galilee, and I walked upstairs to the studio where I was going to do the modelling. And I don't know what it's like to ever walk up a scaffold to be hung or execution, but there were these big double doors there, and I thought, if I could stop, I will, but I couldn't. The art master was behind me. Anyway, I walked in. Beautiful big window overlooking the Golan Heights. 30 women, no men. 24 to 70, some of them looking like my mother. Took all my clothes off, started to do the posing. Now, the first posing, if you've ever done art, is that you have to do one every 30 seconds. So the first five were easy. I mean, I followed the, you know, I did the sort of the, you know, the thinker, the discus thrower, making sure I wasn't bending too low, David. But after that, I just got ridiculous. I ran out of things to do. I did the raising the flag at Iwo Jima, the running man, standing on a mine. Then there was the static pose. So this was a bit better. So I assumed a heroic pose, and I was standing here like this, and I could see the art teacher sort of fiddling around and with things. And suddenly there was a great gust of warm wind. He'd plugged in a two-bar fan heater. There was a cold wind coming off the Golan Heights, but I had no idea how he knew I was cold. Then came the really embarrassing time. This was the static pose with props, and I got three props. I got a fake rose, a rusty kettle, and a stuffed parrot. Any fool would have only taken one of them to pose, but I thought, well, I'll do all three. I put the rose in my mouth, I had the kettle, the parrot on my shoulder. I mean, God knows what I look like. I don't know if any artist ever become famous, but if you go to Israel or Europe and see a picture called Demented Flamenco Player making tea for his parrot, you'll know it's me doing it. As an aside, the 5,000 shekels, well, that was 1,000% inflation rate in Israel. It took 3 weeks to pay $5 American. That was it.